Welcome to Two Bald Men Fighting Over a Comb, a podcast in which two chrome-down 40-somethings grasp at thinly veiled ideas in an attempt to educate and entertain each other. So, Tom, what the fuck do you mean by fruit juice from a daydream?
Just to enlighten our listeners, we have a list of ideas that we both contribute to.
A shit list.
Yeah. And I've written down one of my ideas as fruit juice from a daydream. It's nothing special, Rob. It's just you get fruit juice from concentrate in the supermarket.
Yeah.
So I thought you could have the opposite. You could have fruit juice from a daydream.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I was expecting it to be something like, I don't know, you know, you get sleepwalking. I don't know if you're like sleep juicing.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah.
I thought that could be something. But saying that sleep juicing, no. It might bring on a whole different kind of vision in people's minds.
Sex pest, sleepwalking.
Oh.
So that's not a good start. That's probably my worst idea that you picked out randomly.
I've got K-hole pop.
Okay, that's not a very good one either.
I thought they should have called it soul music.
Nope.
But then the kids wouldn't get it, would they? They'd just be like, what?
We'll just get like North Korean bands rather than South Korean bands, and they just sing about how much Kim Jong-il is their favourite person in the world.
Yeah, well, you know, I can... when you think about the consequences... Yeah,
it's not going to be rebellious music, is it? But no, K-hole pop, you get K-holes when someone has taken too much ketamine. You heard of that?
No, I haven't. Well, I've heard of ketamine, but I've never heard of a K-hole, what, in the arm or what? I mean, where's the hole?
No, it's the hole you go into psychologically and existentially when you take too much ketamine. I know this, obviously, by reports from other people. I've never taken horse tranquilizers for my own enjoyment. But if you take too much ketamine, you can drop off the edge of the world in a K-hole.
So, well, that's what they say, like Matthew Perry, he had high levels of ketamine, but they were using that to treat his opioid addiction or something like that. So he had too much, along with some cardiovascular issues or whatever it is, and he basically had a heart attack and then drowned. Ironically, no one was there for him. Something that I wanted to talk about, which I've got on my list, was something...
Oh, no, I need to ask you about your list.
Well, I was just...
You're doing this all wrong.
No, I was just going to say, in terms of amusing ourselves to death.
Okay, let's do this correctly then, just to ruin your flow. What do you mean by amusing ourselves to death, Rob? I'm intrigued.
So it's a book written by Neil Postman in the 80s, and I made some notes, and what it is that... I'll read this bit first, and then I'll talk to you about
it. So, Amusing Ourselves to Death is a book by...
Yeah, we read it at uni.
I thought it was... Wasn't it a Roger Waters album?
Well, yes, there was also a Roger Waters album, and I think he pinched the title from the Neil Postman book.
Ah, I got you.
Yes. So, I made some notes. So, Neil Postman's argument extends to the idea that television, as a medium, tends to prioritise entertainment over the depth of content. The rapid pace of visual information delivery may discourage critical thinking and in-depth analysis. He raises concerns about how important matters, when presented as entertainment, might be reduced to mere spectacles. So in our media-saturated culture, Postman encourages a vigilant awareness of the impact of technology on our information consumption habits. So whilst the book was written in the context of television-dominated culture, its principles are often applied to other forms of modern media and communication technologies. The key takeaway is to be mindful of how our modes of communication influence our understanding of the world and our ability to engage with substantive issues. So this is all stemmed from my son's been watching YouTube, and even some of the stuff that I flick through, like that just pops up on my kind of timeline or whatever it is, you know, the things that you might find interesting. I mean, the one that kind of pops to mind is...
The shorts.
Well, there's shorts, but then there's this stuff where people are talking, like when the Beatles were saying, oh, we're going to do like a new AI new AI song, and then the Red and Blue albums are going to be released and stuff like that. Loads of these videos of just ordinary people just talking nonsense for about half an hour about what they think or thought it might be, and they just kept going on. Or you get these unboxing videos, or you've got somebody who, like, life hacks. And as you say, yeah, the shorts and everything else just keep churning. And, you know, I've limited, and I think to a certain degree I've managed to switch them off. Because it's like, well, what's that doing to your kind of attention span? Is it, you know, all these things that are going through? And then when you think about going back to the 90s, where you had the Iraq war, where suddenly you're seeing all this footage of these, you know, missiles going down into like air conditioning units and stuff and blowing up, or, and suddenly it became very much, well, am I watching real life or am I watching a computer game? You know, then suddenly, and then it did.
I think I'm going to put a counter argument in. I see what you're saying with regards to the 90s. And yeah, when the guy wrote the book in the 80s, I mean, what, he had probably three or four television channels.
Well, I think it was based in America, so they've always had lots of like adverts, yeah, and the saturation is just like.
But it's, I think, where we are with technology today, you have endless choice as to where you find your information on the internet. You can watch shorts on YouTube and learn absolutely nothing about anything, but, you know, have your dopamine response tickled every 30 seconds, or you can, you know, go on an intellectual website about anything you want to and read about something in detail. So, and you can get different sides to every argument. You can silo yourself off with just people that, you know, agree with what you agree with, being directed towards you in your chats and so forth, or you can recognize it because there's lots of written about it and seek out other opinions.
You've got to have the will to do that, though, haven't you?
So you're saying that people don't have the free will to,
no,
to find their own way of looking at the world and finding out what's going on.
Well, no, because people like, my own thought is that, similar to like Google, the algorithms and stuff like that, that the more you search and everything else, then all the results are tailored to support what you're thinking and stuff. It's not going to come up with counter arguments or anything, or opinions, because generally people don't want to entertain that. It's like, right, I've got an idea. I don't know.
Are you sure? I mean, how many, I think you did a survey of people who watch YouTube, like majority of them are going to be aware that they're being served content by an algorithm.
Well, I'm thinking more like the younger generation, I would say. Not necessarily like my son, who's, you know, under 10, but when you think about, I don't know, I was watching a little bit of this new South Park TV show, a new thing about the Pandaverse or whatever it is, and they were saying like, what, people just don't know how to do anything anymore because it's all on their phones. Even like short-term memory, people are like, well, if I need to find something else, they'll just get their phone, find all that. But then there's also, there's talking of books, so they've got the Amusing Ourselves to Death book, Neil Postman. You've obviously got George Orwell's 1984, which they're saying a restriction of information. Then you've got Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. And with Brave New World, it was very much like all the information is available to everyone, but because it is, no one bothers. And then they've got that drug which kind of just keeps them all kind of happy and on a low ebb and don't ask questions. And then,
oh, give me some of that.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? It's, when you look at
what's
entertainment,
the drug called again?
Like the TV, it's just like, you know, the news. Yeah. All you ever, when you switch the news on, all it ever is bad news, really. There are no good news segments, you know. It's meant to be a bit subjective, isn't it? Why is there not good stories as well as just shit?
I remember Google searching good news and finding some websites that had good news.
Not updated very often, are they?
Well, yeah. No, they're just shit.
I know. Generally, they're quite Christian-y, I find, as well, because I did have a look, and there was an app you could get, and I was like, well, is it broken because it hadn't refreshed in ages? Or you just get some stupid little thing where it's like, oh, some people have gone around and painted an old person's house. It's like, well, great, 1 in 9 billion people have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about news, though, I mean, people go, oh, it's all bad news. I don't look at it, it makes me depressed. It's like, well, that's pretty much the only reason people look at news, is to just check they're not missing that someone's died or something really important that's going to affect their lives, that shit hasn't happened. We haven't had a nuke go off in, I know, Ukraine. There hasn't been a nuclear reactor meltdown at Sellafield.
Little leaks.
It's all about just, you know, sticking your head above the turret and
parapet. You mean
Parapets, that's it, yeah. I was thinking about that while I was saying it, thinking, this is not the right word. But yeah, sticking your head above the parapet and making sure that, you know, no one's like coming towards you to kill you. That's all that checking the news is.
Well, I always find as well, it's... I don't know. Is it
checking the football scores?
Well, is it,
if you're checking the football scores, it's different.
Well,
isn't it? That's important.
I never... Well, I checked that on the app, the BBC thing, just to see, all right, Norwich have drew or lost. Well, actually, they've been winning.
Lost, normally.
Yeah, all right. At least they're consistent. But... But I always find as well, like the news, you imagine like 10 o'clock news, people are going to watch the news and then they go to bed. And all they're watching is this stuff about like, oh, war in Ukraine or the Israeli and Palestinian conflict and, you know, all this stuff. And then it's like, okay, they then go to bed and that's the, you know, the last bit of their brain is all sorting out all these things. Is that... like an element of this kind of like fearfulness, this kind of control of like where you go, oh, blimey, because the governments don't know what they're on about. They don't know how to manage, you know, terrorism and this, that and the other. They're all very just a bit clueless, aren't they? Everything's a bit, ooh.
So you're going a bit conspiracy
thing. No, well, not necessarily, right? But you think about, like, for example, and I'm not saying that this is like right or wrong, it's wrong, war is wrong, and a lot of innocent people are dying. But when you look at the Israeli Gaza Hamas conflict, when you think about the number of people who were killed, which triggered that off, you could say, well, how many people died in the Twin Tower 9/11 stuff, and then America went off and they were basically in Afghanistan for years, how many innocent people were killed? Hundreds of thousands, you know, men, women and children. And then the Israelis, they're basically going, well, let's copy America, what they did. They go into a country, then everyone's like, oh, you know, and up in arms, but what are you doing? But it's like, well, hang on, they're just copying America. And then all I see as well is like these people on Instagram, who all their accounts are private, by the way, but I'm friends with them. They're posting all these things. Like, oh, you know, a voice. And it's like, well, if that's what you're doing, do you think that it's like, you know, you're going to stop the war from doing that? You know, it annoys me looking at social media and those feeds where everyone's just posting all this stuff and you just think, well, is there not anything better you could do?
I think it gets back to the, I mean, you're saying you're seeing all this stuff that's annoying you on social media. You're watching the news, it's making you depressed.
No, I don't watch the news on that basis of...
Yeah, well, that's what I say, just don't watch
no,
it.
No, I don't, you know? I don't. I
read it first thing in the morning to make sure the world hasn't ended.
Yeah,
and
just
to... get on with life, isn't it? If people, you know, if social media is annoying, you just don't do it. I mean, it's not essential.
I always do have a think that... I have a thought, like, I go through these periods where I'm like, I wonder if Brian Wilson's died, because he's, yeah, frail and...
You got him in the death pool.
I got him in the death pool. That's what I was going to ask you, actually. In terms of the remaining Beatles, I mean, their next record will probably be drum and bass. But in terms of the Beatles...
Very good.
Who do you think's going to pop off first? Ringo or McCartney?
Well, the thing is, if it's McCartney, no one will believe it.
Oh, because he's already dead anyway, and he died in the 1966 in a car crash.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain Sauron thing going on with... Paul McCartney. I don't think he can die, can he? You know, he's an immortal, evil guy.
Well, I don't know. Well, all right, what about Keith Richards or Mick Jagger? Who's going to go first?
Well, Keith Richards would just be kept alive with, you know...
All the drugs.
Blood. all the blood transfusions in Transylvania.
But Switzerland, wasn't it? I thought they'd go over there and these two fresh... Well, interestingly, when you said about, like, I think there is a drug in what they offer... older people's to do your T-cells and stuff like that. They give you a booster of your T-cells or whatever it is, so it helps your immune system. So as you get older, because they just drop off, a bit like your gut, how it stops absorbing more nutrients as you get older, then...
Are you talking about the telomeres rather than T-cells?
Yeah, maybe the telomeres. Yeah, right. You're the medical person. I'm just like... trying to remember
I've never done anything medically with telomeres, but they're the little tails that hang off the end of DNA, I think, or genes. And when a cell reproduces, they get shorter and shorter until the cell dies, basically.
Right. So I just wonder whether they're doing that to all these, like, you know, famous famous rock stars and stuff.
We're getting back into the conspiracy theories, evil cabal of...
Might get a few more listeners.
Vampires. Yeah. Russell Brand is innocent.
Nope. Well, anyway, I think That's a bit deep. Bit deep. So I'm curious. I'm curious to know what you mean by orc mindfulness.
This, yeah, well, orc mindfulness. This is a gem I came up with midweek. It was actually looking at one of your ponderous ideas, like what was it? Where would you move if you could live somewhere else? Which is, it's not quite as surreal as I wanted, but
Well,
I'll
that's why
go
I'm
with
not
it.
talking about it yet. I've got to work on it. It's a work in progress.
Oh well,
I might change it to planet or
I'm
something.
just shitting on it now, aren't I?
We've shat
But
all over it.
I would move to New Zealand, and well, I would like to move to New Zealand. I think I probably would he? I probably already would have moved to New Zealand if I wasn't scared. Because
Middle Earth.
do you remember Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit? They recorded all those movies out there.
Yes.
And you think about how many orcs and goblins and trolls and Oilyfants that they wouldn't have been able to get those back out of the country. They're not going to get passports. They're not going to get visas to live somewhere else. So they're all still in New Zealand, homeless, a bit more dishevelled than when they did the filming.
Oh, because they've been ignored. They had that fame. They had everyone wanting a bit.
And you know, it doesn't alter the fact that, you know, they're very angry, evil creatures. And I don't want to live around. I wouldn't want to live around that number of orcs. And they probably would have reproduced. So I don't know how orcs reproduce. But anyway, I was watching these Lord of the Rings films
I think you
over the
should
last couple of
Google
weeks.
how orcs reproduce. Flipping heck.
It's not gonna be pretty, is it?
Scaly pecker, I reckon they've got a scaly pecker.
Yeah, it's gonna be green.
What,
Probably not
the
green and not
fat that
clean.
gets squeezed out the end.
Oof. Anyway, I was watching these Lord of the Rings films over the last couple of weeks, and it struck me that all these orcs are very angry. You know, they never sort of being chill, having a drink with their mates, playing a bit of football, you know, doing some sport, doing some exercise for their mental health. They just all struck me as people, well, not people, orcs that need to work on themselves. You know, we're all working on ourselves these days, aren't we? So I thought maybe if the orcs work on themselves, you know, maybe see a therapist, maybe do a bit of mindfulness, they can maybe become better creatures.
Well, I don't know, because
And
mindfulness, it doesn't necessarily, all it does, it makes you more aware of your surroundings. So that's why I'm a bit skeptical about
but
mindfulness, because you go, do you know
that
what?
makes you more
It's
chill then.
fucking shit.
Well,
My life's shit.
it makes you live in the moment rather than like thinking back to like all of the other orcs who've beaten you up, and Sauron getting you to do all his and doing all this stuff for him. It makes you not think to the future about like all of the the wargs you're going to ride and elves you're going to run down. It makes you think in the present moment about what's going on in your life, and I think that would benefit an orc.
It does sound. Would you be so? What would you suggest? Like an app then, form or something? Because I don't think a therapist would want to be sat too
You know,
close to
we don't
them.
have to leave it at orcs either. You know, there's lots of baddies in the world, isn't there? You can go with trolls that live under bridges. You can go with I don't know, super villains.
Super villains.
Skeletor. You did a bit of mindfulness with Skeletor. He might be a bit less master of the universe-y. He might like patch things up with He-Man.
And She-Ra.
Yeah, and She-Ra. Yeah. Was it Battle Cat? He might be mates with Battle Cat before he got all like all mental healthy.
I don't know, because have you ever seen the films? Well, they did. I think Dolph Lundgren
I did watch the film last week.
was.
It's so shit.
Yeah.
They find this thing and it's like a perfect synthesizer, like the key they need to unlock something. I went to sleep while I was watching it because I had a hangover.
Oh, okay. Well, it might be a good hangover film. I watched Lethal Weapon and then Lethal Weapon 2, and then I started to watch 48 Hours, and then it's, oh no, I started off with Predator because I thought I'm gonna start watching all these 1980 movies which I liked growing up, and which I probably shouldn't have watched at such a young age, and yeah, I think I need to watch Commando, kind of bring it up a little bit because I don't know, Lethal Weapon.
I tell you the films that I used to love, and I probably still do, but they don't really work very well in, like, well, 2020, what year are we? 2023, nearly 2024. It's terrible, isn't it, this dementia?
You care for people for a living, right? What's this?
Yeah,
right?
But they're rubbing off on me, aren't they?
Are they? Oh, you would not stop that. You'll get in trouble.
Yeah, the ones with the cognitive decline. I can't even say it. That's how cognitively declined I am.
What's the rubbing off that I'm worried about?
Yes, the grey cells rubbing off.
No, I mean them physically rubbing off, aren't they?
I know what you're trying to say. I'm just trying to skirt around it
because, you know, it's a form of income for you. Sorry.
I'm just an old person gigolo.
At least you have to worry about contraceptive.
I don't know. I'm fairly virile.
I'm just about them, you know. We like blow the dust off.
I can knock them back 30 years, you know. Anyway,
that's some hell of a thrust.
We're going back to an old episode of ours, aren't we?
Yes.
Anyway, back to Crocodile Dundee was what I wanted to talk about.
Crocodile Dundee.
I was watching that, and there was a scene. Mick Dundee. There's a scene where he attends a party in New York, and there's a transsexual, stroke transvestite man. And he basically cups his groin to check if he's a man or a woman or not.
Blimey. Imagine if he wasn't, a transvestite or a man dressed as, identifying as a woman, dressed as a woman, and he did that. Mm. I mean, how, dear oh dear, Mick Dundee. Because he ended up marrying the woman, didn't he, in that?
Did he?
Yeah. But I mean, you look at Paul Hogan.
Well, you say marry the crocodile.
No, Paul Hogan. I mean, even back in the 80s, you know, I think I'd seen less wrinkles in the ball bag. You know, it's like flipping egg. It's crazy. But yeah, he's a national icon, isn't he, I think? And I don't know if they've done a newish Crocodile Dundee thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there was one. I think I started watching it, but it was a bit questionable.
Yeah. Are there any films at Christmas that you always go back to watch?
No, I'm a Grinch.
I like A Christmas Story because it's got this boy called Ralph, and it's not your typical kind of...
I like Die Hard. I don't want to hear about proper Christmas films.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Die Hard, they say, is it a Christmas movie or not? But that's released in July. So, of course, then it's not a Christmas. It's just set at Christmas.
But then that Slade song was recorded in July, the Christmas one.
When did they release it, though? They didn't release it in July, did they?
No, released it at Christmas, but it's recorded in July, so they're singing about Christmas.
Well, they all were, because I think Wham's Last Christmas was done in the summer, because they said they decorated the studio to look all Christmassy.
I mean, I can't speak properly. Let's start that one again. I bet Club Tropicana was recorded actually at Christmas rather than in summer at Club Tropicana.
Probably turn the heat up.
Because that's sort of a Christmas song, isn't it, Club Tropicana? Am I just making it up?
I don't know. I am not really. I like, was it Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
No, they had another one, didn't they? They had a proper Christmas hit. I'm being really stupid on that.
I don't know. All I know about Wham is those two things.
Last Christmas You Gave Me My Heart, but the very next day I gave it away.
Yeah, that's Last Christmas.
That was old Georgie Boy.
No, it was with Wham, and they recorded it in the summer.
Yeah.
Anyway, because...
I've talked about Christmas enough. I know it's coming up to Christmas.
All right.
I went to my Christmas party last night, and, you know, the turkey was terrible. They gave us one Brussels sprout on the plate. One Brussels sprout, two pigs in blankets, which were like Richmond sausages.
Oh my.
Wrapped up in Tesco Value bacon. It's just terrible.
Where did you go? Name this place.
It was the Doubletree Hilton Hotel in Bristol.
Hilton?
And they charged us £45 a head. Actually, it might have been a bit more.
What did the head taste like? Head.
Well, if they give me like one of those heads of pork, of pig with like the apple in it, I would have dived into it. They probably would have cooked it wrong. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Even like the chocolate tort at the end was like something they bought from a wholesaler and done nothing.
Oh,
to
man,
it.
That's disappointing. It's cheap as shit. I'm going to Bill's for my one. Not my mate Bill's. I don't know anyone called Bill, but Bill's. It's going to be quite good. And I've got myself a burger. I could have gone for Christmas dinner, but it's like, well, I'm going to have Christmas dinner done properly, not like massly produced.
Yeah. The other thing about this hotel though is they had like a full room. It wasn't just our group. It was about, I think, 40 of us. But they had like several other like They basically had a room full, so it's like about sort of 150, 200 people. So it's all the other companies all sat at their own desks and things, and tables. And it's just the shittest, cheapest food. There's a bar you couldn't get served at because it's just too thick with people. It's just...
So at least they set you up quite nicely.
Well, this is Christmas. I mean, for me, it's just a ridiculous capitalist nonsense that has no bearing in religion whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing. I always find, like...
But Santa Claus exists, so. Santa Claus exists. Yeah. Just in case any children are watching, Santa Claus
listening.
Exists. As does Rudolph.
Listening.
As does the Easter Bunny. Did I say watching?
Yes.
Listening. As does the Tooth Fairy. The Tooth Fairy, though, does need some mindfulness training because she like pays money for people's dead teeth. Children's dead teeth. What does she do with them?
Grinds them down, probably sells them as like miracle cures for tooth decay or something. But no, one thing I was growing up, there was always this pub on the corner of like the marketplace, which for obviously 50 or 48 weeks of the year, it would be like on a Saturday, all these drunk people would be hanging around it and everyone would be like, oh God, you know, terrible. Yeah. And they would feel very much like outcast. But then at Christmas time, where everyone's kind of like, oh yeah, don't matter. And then it was almost acceptable to like, you know, daytime drinking and all that stuff. And it is, and I just found that like that whole kind of dynamic interesting. But yeah. I mean, in terms of Christmas, and it's the last thing I say, my favourite part of Christmas is the bit between Christmas and New Year's, where everyone's kind of, they don't really know what to do and they just sit and do nothing. Well, that's what I do. I'm very much like, I like the idea of not rushing about or having to do anything. Generally, growing up, it'd be like listening to the albums like The Last Wolf for Christmas or just going for walks along the beach.
All I'm going to say to this is fuck off, because I work in a job where I have to work Christmas Day, I have to work the days in between Christmas Day and New Year's, and I've done it for years, and fuck you.
All right.
And the horse you rode in on.
Sounds like you've got a bit of anger, so I'm curious to know, what do you mean? What it seems a little bit.
I need the orc mindfulness, don't
you
I?
You do. I think you should move to New Zealand. Interestingly, about New Zealand, wine from New Zealand, a certain part of New Zealand, in that dead centre part of the land, grapes grow, and they said they're fantastic because you've got the sun, and then they're that right distance away from the coast where they get a nice breeze, so those grapes are at the optimal temperature. So Sauvignon Blancs, that kind of thing. I'm not a big wine drinker, but if I have to have a glass of wine, it's either a Merlot, which obviously not I've just chatted about, or a Sauvignon Blanc, but then it can be a little bit too acidic for me. How can you tell the difference between a male and female snow man, snow woman?
Is it where the carrot is?
No. Snowballs.
Oh, very good. Did you get that out of a cracker?
No.
Because it is a cracker.
Shish. So you got your caffeine?
I've got my caffeine. I see one of your ideas on our mindless map is caffeine stroke alcohol. Again, a very boring title that's not very surreal.
Well, it's not surreal, but did you know that caffeine is the most studied psychoactive compound there is? And people won't fully understand the effects that it has on their lives stroke bodies until they stop consuming coffee or caffeine for a period and then starting again to see what effects it has on their body. So 90% of people in the world ingest it daily, making it the most consumed wow. psychoactive drug in the world. So it's more like our baseline consciousness, but of like we're all in an altered state to a certain degree. But because we all take it, we basically render it invisible because everyone is on.
Imagine if caffeine really was psychoactive. I know they say it's psychoactive. I'm putting inverted commas around that for all the listeners out there. You know, you don't really trip balls on caffeine, do you? You just get a bit.
But this is the thing: until you withdraw from it, you won't know the effects that it has actually on your way of being, because they say basically caffeine withdrawal can cause headaches, fatigue, lethargy.
I was going to say, have you tried stopping caffeine before?
No, difficulty. Listen, difficulty concentrating, decreased motivation, irritability, increased stress, and the lack of confidence and dysphoria, which is obviously the opposite of euphoria. And interestingly, when you were saying about psychoactive compounds, the effect that obviously has on humans, because we're much larger species than others, it makes them a bit so smaller insects. So this is a defense mechanism, this psychoactive compound. So with the caffeine, I don't know what is the scientific name is from the tea or the coffee seed. And what it does, it can really discombobulates. If an insect ingests it, it really kind of puts it, well, caffeine has been known to decrease appetite and all those things. It can make you slightly bit crazy, you know. So with insects,
I think that's all, it's all psychoactives, isn't it? I think the theory is for psilocybin, for magic mushrooms, is it's got nothing to do with humans having like trippy experiences. It's all to do with just fucking up animals that eat them, so they don't eat them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It does, and that's the thing, it doesn't kill them, because obviously it needs them to. It's interesting, I mean, you think about say magic mushrooms and, you know, coffee, and how people first came. Imagine being the first person to, you know, oh, I'm just gonna gather these mushrooms. Yeah, the last load killed their auntie. It's like, oh shit, won't pick them ones, these next ones. It's like you see God. It's like, my God, my God, literally. But no, I just thought it was interesting in terms of, because also the caffeine itself acts as like a bit of a herbicide, and they will prevent other plants from growing near their young seedlings. So as a plant, I think it's up there in terms of like, is, I don't know, it's obviously the most consumed, but in terms of the amount of land mass they use to grow it, it's up there with like wheat and grain, all those particular types of things that we all consume. Is it a black tea? Oof.
I run out of milk.
I don't know why, that's why your dogs are barking. He's trying to squeeze some
squeeze some milk out of their teats.
Out of their teats.
No, there's a little tea tip that I've actually discovered quite late in life. That is, if you don't like black tea, just put a little bit of sugar in it.
Oh, I thought you said just put a little bit of milk in it.
Yeah. No, just like, I put half a teaspoon of sugar in my black tea, and it tastes like it's got milk in it, because the milk is just like a sweetener, isn't it? Because it's got sugar in milk. So I worked it out the other day. I'm like, what if I put sugar in black tea? Just a little bit, just enough to mimic the milk. But it tastes nice, and it does.
Well, there we go then. So you'll never buy milk again?
No, I still buy milk.
All right. Just
I like the idea of cows being abused to.
I know. When you think about it, it's actually quite horrifying. Like, as soon as the calf's born, they whip the calf away and then just attach the cows to these machines. So completely distressing times for the cows.
There's a lot of agriculture. We're not very nice to animals overall, are we, as a species?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. This is the thing, because I think they're saying as well with...
My dog is downstairs agreeing. She's woofing at the
moment. Yeah, she's like, yeah, my nipples are sore.
My teeth.
But no, so in terms of caffeine, I did think, I used to work with somebody who, they said, oh yeah, I'm going to stop consuming caffeine, but they just went on to green tea. But I'm like, you do realise that's got caffeine in it. But because I think they say with dairy, it does cause slight inflammation of the body. Obviously not in your face and stuff, but that's what they're saying. Like in some hospitals in America, if you go in, then all they do is they give you vegan food, and they're saying that's actually meant to help with their recuperation and stuff.
There's some cardiac conditions when you go into hospital, and the doctors will actually say you need to stop drinking coffee. Imagine that must be horrible. No tea, no caffeine, basically. No tea, no coffee, no Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't drink anything. It'd be terrible. That's pretty much my entire fluid intake.
Well, the thing is, it's like, when you have you ever drank the Gold Coke? You know, the caffeine-free, sugar-free stuff.
I did for a while. Yeah,
it just doesn't taste of anything.
Yeah, it tastes like, I don't mind it, to be fair. But I must have gone through a period of, I'm not going to drink caffeine anymore, and I don't think I would have gone very long because, you know, you just get, you get into the headaches and that's like enough.
Withdrawals. Enough is enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this brings on to the second one, talking about headaches, alcohol.
Mm.
Interestingly, if alcohol was discovered today, it could never be sold as it's far too toxic to be allowed under current food regulations, let alone pharmaceutical safety thresholds. And I always find it interesting in this health conscious age, you know, it's rarely discussed in terms of, you know, the effects that alcohol, you know, has actually on the body itself. I know from a point of view of sitting down having a beer with your mate and stuff like that, but then, you know, people who are, you know, alcoholics and stuff, it just completely strips their, you know, body, well, lowers the immune system, but it does open up the veins, doesn't it, or something? What's the correct terminology?
Vasodilation.
The what? Laser dilation?
Vasodilation. Oh, rather than vasoconstriction.
All right. What causes vasoconstriction? Nicotine?
Yes, nicotine does. Adrenaline. So if you say you walk out your front door.
Well, I do normally.
And you get attacked by a mugger outside, you'll have a huge adrenaline rush and you have a peripheral vasoconstriction. So that means the blood goes to your vital organs. So it means you can fight or run away.
Just go back indoors, close the door.
Yeah, well, that'll be running away, wouldn't it? Yeah, but the other impact adrenaline will have, because it's peripheral vasoconstriction, is your hands get cold, your feet get cold, your nuts and your balls, nuts and the balls? Your penis and balls get cold.
You've got both sets, have you? Up. Lucky you.
So basically, everything that's peripheral will shrivel up and get cold.
Yeah. This is a big debate about vapes, isn't it? Like, well, the disposable vapes and like vapes, what it does like long term on the system.
We just don't know.
Well, no one knows. But what I found,
we can guess. But...
Well, what I found interesting, because it's similar to when cigarettes first came out. Everyone was like, oh, you know, you got a stammer here, smoke a cigarette, that'll get rid of it. Or you know, smoking was seen as a cure for a lot of different things. Now, where they're saying, you know, vaping is healthier than smoking cigarettes, I did a little bit of research, and they're saying with a vape.
Who's they?
Well, in terms of your typical nicotine dose from a vape, because with the cigarette, obviously you'd light a cigarette, it's got that amount of nicotine that you burn off and you finish that cigarette, and so you've got that kind of prescribed dose of nicotine into your body. Now, the equivalent of that is about 6 puffs on a vape.
Yeah.
But what you're finding is, because there are all these different flavors and everything else, why, you know, people are vaping it more than 6 times. So they're becoming massively addicted to nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be harder to almost withdraw from vaping than it would be from...
Yeah, I've always said it. It's I don't know how you can quit these things. I mean, it's it's still always better than smoking, because it's not about nicotine. It's about the
carcinogenics,
you know, the carcinogens. You know, your formaldehyde and all sorts of things.
Well, that's the thing, because I in nicotine when smoke. You have like taking Marlboro
nicotine smoke, cigarette smoke. Yeah. Sorry,
well, taking Marlboro brand as an example, when you're smoking Marlboro Reds, is it Philip Morris who, I don't know,
probably
that
he's one of the manufacturers. Yeah.
So when you look at the Marlboro Lights, even though they aren't really any lighter because you're still smoking, and so there's no lightness to it.
Just less nicotine. Yeah.
Well, it's less nicotine, but what they've done is they included a chemical in the lighter versions of these cigarettes. What that does, it opens the pores of your lungs more to absorb more nicotine. Because their view was like, if someone's smoking Marlboro Reds and they go onto the lights, then...
Rob, can I just interject?
Go on.
Pores of your lungs?
I don't know. Whatever it is, the things of your lungs, you know, the sacs.
Alveoli.
Yes, all right. Look, I think a lot of people got what I was on about. It's just not the medical people. So, all right. So anyway, the little sacks, whatever it is, you absorb via your lungs, however that is described in the medical sense. It's harder to stop smoking the lighter cigarettes than it would be than smoking the reds. So they've got this mindset of like, well, if you're reducing it, then essentially
you're saying in medical terms, you're saying that Marlboro Lights had a bronchodilator built into the tobacco somehow, which it wouldn't make the alveoli any different. It'd be a bronchodilator, so it'd be the bronchioles that supply the sacs would be looser, so more smoke can get in rather than the alveoli themselves.
Yeah, all right, perhaps I should have termed it that way. And another thing as well.
You should have done your research.
Walking through the centre, right? Walking through the centre of Norwich, or walking anywhere in Norwich.
But before you go on to that, I just want to give you a little interesting fact.
Yeah, I was just going to go on to something else about smoke, but I kind of noticed. But go on.
I'll do mine first because, you know.
Yeah, you're on a roll.
I want to roll. When you're in hospital, you have a pulse oximeter, they check your oxygen saturations with. And you could have a horrible lung complaint and have low oxygen saturations that need to be dealt with supplemental oxygen, etc. Mm-hmm. If you go off the ward and smoke a cigarette and come back to the ward and have your oxygen sats checked as part of your observations, they'll show as being 100%, because the carbon monoxide from cigarette smoke binds with hemoglobin in your red blood cells. And it fools the oximeter into thinking that the red blood cells fully colonised, I can't think of the right word, but full with oxygen rather than carbon monoxide. And so you can be like, have like really low oxygen in your system and you'll show up as 100% if you have a cigarette.
Blimey.
There you go. Well, that's just my factoid. I thought you'd be interested in that.
Well, no, I mean, I don't smoke and hopefully won't be going into hospital. Oh, you got a camouflage mug. I'm surprised.
I've had this mug for ages. What I love about it, it's a gift from my brother. So I've had it for many years. But there's this slight imperfection of a crack here. I don't know if you can see it. And it looks like a cock and ball.
Oh, yeah, it does, yeah. I was going to say, a camouflage mug, though. I mean, I wouldn't be able to find it. Put it down. I'd be like,
cock and balls on it.
Where have I put it?
Well, you won't be able to find your cock and balls.
I can't find my cock and balls. But going back to what I said, walking around Norwich... It absolutely reeks mostly of weed, like cannabis.
And inbreeding.
Yeah, there's a whiff of that. no, I can't say that. Maybe, anyway. I think there is a certain area of Norfolk which has a higher proportion of incest as opposed to the rest of the country.
Is that where you live?
No, not where I am. Yeah, like to meet my wife and sister. It's the one woman. What? No. And I thought to myself, right, because I have this thing, I can't remember the correct term, I'm sure you'll probably tell me, but certain strong smells, so at the end of those spectrums, like extremely florally perfumes or bleach will give me an instant like migraine, and that's it, I'm fucked. I can't take anything that'll kind of quell that headache.
Do you know what that is?
What? No, I can't remember the proper term of it. But then
you've got a brain tumor.
No, I've had it all sorted. I've had a scan and everything else. Because I was, and then the other side of it is like wood smoke. If it's like someone's burning damp wood, and that's a really particular smoke. And another thing as well that gives me a headache is cannabis smoke. So if I'm out and about and someone is in front of me and they have a big lug and I'm like, oh, chances are, I'll start to get a headache.
What if it's your own cannabis smoke if you're having a joint?
Well, I don't know, I've never tested that theory out and I don't intend to, but what I was thinking about, right, you get all these, they're saying like, oh, you know, that they enhance, like, you know, they make it stronger and stronger and stronger, the cannabis and stuff like that, and they, you know, they genetically change it to be all this stuff. Why don't they make it that it has no stink to it? You know, why can't they work on that as a thing? Because then everyone could just smoke it quite freely and it'd just be...
I don't know if, like, international drug rings are really that interested in, like, researching their product.
Well, it's the stink in it that gives it away. The dogs can, like... stiff
out.
Oh,
so you're saying it'll be a benefit.
But then, well, they say for the drug rings it'll be a benefit. And that'd be benefit for me because I won't be like, you know, stinking.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go to wherever they're mass producing these new strains of cannabis and I'll say, my friend Rob, he's got some feedback. He thinks that it might help with your research and development. God, that took about 5 seconds of brain activity to get those words.
Yeah, it did.
Right, let me have a look at your list, Rob.
Do you fancy doing a quiz talking about brain activity?
Yeah, maybe. How long have we been going? 57
well,
minutes.
We had a tea
then there was
break.
A break for me to go and get my tea. So yeah, let's go for a bit longer. Maybe we can do a double episode for Christmas.
Well, yesterday I was in A&E. My son wasn't feeling very well. He's fine, running around and all normal today. So it's always nice to go there. One of the things that interested me on your mindless list is emergency services chicken.
Oh yeah, I like this one. This is one that came to me the other day.
Because I must say, when we were there, they gave me a little cup of apple juice. So is that they come around and say, "Here you go, have some KFC"? Because I tell you, we were both starving. Well, he was.
Ambulance driver drops off a chicken to people if they or a turkey to them on Christmas Day. That's not the idea. I was driving down the road and there was an ambulance behind me.
Mm-hmm. And a chicken in front of you.
And needs to pull over, and then an ambulance came from the other direction, and I'm like, what happens if they meet in the middle?
Smack.
And they don't know what the other one's going to, or they might do, but they might not.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do? Do they carry on driving and expect the other one to pull out of the way because they're equal, aren't they? They're equally important. And I thought you could do it as like a competition. You could do it with an ambulance and a police car on the single track road. Like who pulls out of the way? What's more important, getting to the sick person or stopping someone from getting killed? Or fire engine. They're always going to lose out, aren't they? No one gives a shit about fire, but you know, ambulance and police. I think.
Wait till your house catches fire.
Yeah, but you know, you've got a bit of time, haven't you? You know, it might be if someone's had a cardiac arrest. You know,
well, they're fucked anyway, aren't they? You told me that if you have a cardiac arrest, unless someone's there to start sorting you out.
You're pretty fucked.
So what is it again you said about, like, so say I had a cardiac arrest right now, that I'm gonna do this just to prove your point, but
so
boom,
so you would need to be defibrillated ideally. I think it's within 8 minutes before you start losing the deoxygenation of your brain from your heart not pumping properly will you know start getting rid of brain matter and or kill your brain matter will die basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an exact science though. I mean, it's everyone's different and you'll have people who've had, we call it a downtime. So like people have had a 20-minute downtime with some fairly decent CPR and they'll come back with no deficit. And then you have someone who's had 5 minutes of downtime, had really good CPR and be defibrillated like right on the spot and come back conscious and they'll be brain damaged and die. It's not an exact science, but it's in general the longer your downtime the worse your outcome. I think it's past 8 minutes. So the real problems start happening. So you think about 8 minutes in the grand scheme of things, it's not very long. So if you were to
listen to eight minutes of this podcast.
I'll just carry on talking while Rob's lying on the floor. Caroline would have to come in and find you. That's 30 seconds. Phone the ambulance, 30 seconds. 4 or 5 minutes for the ambulance to get there. Get the defibrillator on your chest, another 30 seconds to a minute. You know, you're up at 7 minutes already, aren't you?
Yeah.
If everything goes well.
Well, she's left me alone because I'm recording this podcast. I could be alone. It's 5 o'clock. It's going to be dinner in a minute.
Cardiac arrest in the community, the survival rate isn't very good.
So you need to be on it. So that's the thing. Everyone should learn how to do CPR. I think that should be a thing.
The other thing, it's a very good system or idea. There's an app that people can go onto called Responder.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got it on my phone because obviously I'm medically trained. Nursely trained. I'm not a medic. But someone 10 doors down has a cardiac arrest and someone phones an ambulance, then it will alert responders in the area, people with the app. So it'd be like a big old alarm on my phone. I can't imagine if it went off now. So basically you say, yes, I'm going, and then you run around there and start giving proper CPR. And if there's like a defibrillator on the wall somewhere, it'll tell you basically, so you can get it across as quick as possible. So you might be getting there before the ambulance arrives and be able to save someone's life in that really important downtime period. Wow. It's a responder is a very good idea for an app. And if you know anyone who's a nurse or a doctor or whatever, and they don't know about it, then it's something that's worth recommending. I don't know if there's anything similar outside of this country, but it's definitely in the UK.
You're the most amazing guy.
Are you ready for your quiz? What it is I've got 10 facts, right? And you're going to tell me whether they're real or not.
Oh, okay.
All right, so...
What is the forfeit if I don't get it right?
You know that poem that you... Or that thing about stir fry, which I mentioned in the last show?
The one that I said I'd never read out live.
Yeah, well, you need to... I want you to read it out. I think it's good.
And I think if I get more right than wrong, I should write it out for you and you should read it.
Oh, I can read it. Yeah, sure. That sounds like a plan, Stan.
Sounds fair.
Right, so the first one, you ready? You sitting comfortably?
No, never comfortable in my own skin. Someone else's skin.
All right. Are you ready? Frozen fruit is more healthier than fresh fruit. True or false?
True.
Yes, that is true. Because, so generally... fresh fruit and veg are normally considered the best way to get your five a day, but the truth is those products have probably been in transit and on display for weeks, rotting and losing nutrients the whole time. Freezing, on the other hand, captures the produce in its prime and retains more vitamins and minerals.
It's a good start. 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10.
Ain't bad.
So, biblical bits.
Okay.
Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. True or false?
So, yes, you see, you can't. This one is disputed, Rob. there's a lot of research that's gone into it that suggests she was a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to say yes, but it's not proven.
Right.
Because you can't prove it.
So, they're saying Mary Magdalene is recorded in the Bible as one of the many followers of Jesus, but there was never any suggestion in the Bible that she was a repentant prostitute. Okay. Such rumours only became prevalent in the Middle Ages.
Hmm. Well, there you go then.
So, now you know. Right, next one. So it's one all.
That's one all.
One all. Yeah. One all. Hang on. I've lost my page. Elephants drink through their trunks.
False.
Yes, that is correct. The many uses of an elephant's dangling appendage include breathing, smelling, touching, and trumpeting. It is also used to suck up water and then squirt that water into its mouth. So there you go.
It's like their nose, isn't it? You don't drink through your nose.
True or false? Joan of Arc was burned as a witch.
False. She was burnt as a heretic.
That's right, for dressing as a man. Yes. Was that 3-1?
3-1, yeah.
You're doing well. A goldfish has a 7-second memory.
False.
That is true. So the memory of a goldfish can be counted in months, not just 3 to 7 seconds, as often claimed.
I know, this guy got some mates who are goldfish, and, you know, we go down the pub every couple of weeks and they remember me.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't remember them, though. And Morse code ... means save our souls.
It means SOS.
Well, actually, it doesn't mean anything at all. It was originally introduced as a generic distress signal in Germany simply because of its easy to transmit sequence. The letter S and O just happen to use the same symbols in Morse code. So it doesn't actually mean anything, but then people just abbreviate it to say save our souls. So
I didn't really answer that as save our souls, though. I said it's SOS in Morse code, which it is, that means I'm right.
Fucking hell. 4-1, then.
No, it's 5-1.
Is it?
Which means you can only draw now, Rob. You might have to do a tiebreaker.
All right. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, crispy seaweed is made from seaweed.
Well, that's a good one. False.
Why say that then? Just because.
So I think it's a pickled cabbage or something.
Well, actually, yeah, it's not seaweed at all, but yeah, you're right, it's cabbage. Cabbage, usually pak choy or kale, normally cooked in a hot wok and seasoned with salt, sugar, and a five spice powder.
I better start typing out this poem for you.
You better start typing it out. We're doing really well. True or false, diamonds are formed from compressed coal.
They are formed from compressed carbon, so yeah, coal.
Actually, diamonds and coal are different forms of carbon. So the carbon that forms diamonds is millions of years older and a different formation to the carbon that becomes coal. So you can blame Superman for that.
I sort of got it right. Yeah. That's 4.5. That's a half point.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've got to read out your thing anyway. But yeah, because Superman in the movie, doesn't he? He picks up that lump of coal, crushes it, and then he's got a diamond. So there you go. He's ruined it for everyone. And then finally, if you cut an earthworm in half, you end up with two worms.
False.
That is indeed true, because the.
I mean, it's true. I got it wrong.
No, you got it right. So the truth is, if you cut a worm in half, as long as you do a good cut, then the end with the head on
will live,
but the tail won't grow a head. Mm-hmm. With the quiz, normally it's not the end of the show. And the forfeit. But I'm curious, on your list, just so you know, I open up the note, what is pronking?
What is pronking? Pronking is one of my favourite words.
What does it mean?
So I'm going to give you the dictionary definition of pronking.
Pronking.
Well, I've got in Wikipedia, I've got redirected from the word stotting, stotting. So stotting, also called pronking or pronging, is a behaviour of quadrupeds, particularly gazelles, in which they spring into the air, lifting all feet off the ground simultaneously. All right, so you ready for your poetic?
So when did you write this?
I wrote this when I was 16.
16. And what prompted you to?
Maybe even younger, maybe 15. I think it's just in the sixth form. No, it would have been younger, so it would have been 15. I think we're just in like our common room at school writing stupid poetry. Because we'd had a poetry class and we're just like, poetry shit, I hate it, let's write some stupid poetry. And so I came up with some stupid a stupid poem about food.
Well, I don't think it's stupid, I really like it, that's why I wanted the world to hear it. So,
thank you, Rob.
Here goes.
You're a sweetie.
Right, here goes, ready?
Yep.
Bamboo shoots and bamboo leaves, bamboo roots and bamboo seeds. Oriental food, I cry. Why must we all comply when cooking Cantonese and Thai? We always choose to use stir fry. This bandwagon is sweet and sour, this hypnotizing stir fry power. It shall not blind me in my hour to oven grill with solar power.
Bravo. I was there, Rob. I was there.
Yeah, well, you wrote it. Do we know what we're doing on the next show?
Not got a clue.
The intrigue is there. Oh, and Tom?
Yes.
Happy Christmas.
Nope.